do you think?
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day
it
to that
for
one
like
chance,
science.
Just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives,
you know it,
but they'll never take our freedom!
How did you find it yet?
The future is uncertain, I know this. Death is inevitable, I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning, and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Barbara Jean Lindsay is an internationally acclaimed psychic, spiritual healer, author, and founder of the online mystery school Esoteric University. As the cosmic oracle, she is a conduit to the powers that be to answer your questions about your future self, past lives, current career, love. She shines light into the darkness to illuminate what was, what may be, and beyond. The readings and advice given by Barbara Jean Lindsay are for entertainment purposes only. Should not take the place of any medical, legal, or financial advice given to you by a qualified professional and are not a substitute for medical, legal, or financial advice. If you need a doctor, call a doctor. If you need to be expanded, call the Cosmic Oracle.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Cosmic Oracle Show. We're so happy to have you here today. I am the host. I've been the host for 10 years and lately, and I think for a long time to come, we have our co-host, Steve Colburn, with us tonight as well. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Well, I'm glad to be here as always, and this is Revolution Radio, and I welcome all you revolutionaries to the revolution. And I hope you've all chosen a side. I would have all chosen my side. We're on the verge of civil war in this country, I'm afraid.
Oh, wow. Well, we're going to get to that probably a little bit. Everyone likes what you're saying here. I mean, we all have an opinion, and it's valuable, and hopefully we get to be educated and informed and gather information and then make a highly educated decision, would you call that?
Highly educated.
Exactly. So anyway, so welcome to the show and thanks for tuning in tonight. Revolution Radio is an all-volunteer station. It's our 10th year doing this, our 10th year of doing a weekly show. And the way you can help support us is go to revolution.radio. That's revolution.radio and give whatever you can, $5, $10 to keep us on the air. And we thank you in advance for that. Also, you can support my work and Steve's works. I have a couple books. This is Dying for the Light. I think you can see that. and talked about my near-death experience in 1989. And this is what got me into the whole UFO scene, shall we say. So check it out on Amazon.com. You can buy a copy there. I'd appreciate it. Also, I have a book, another book, Seized by Sekhmet, and the Egyptian Goddess Revolution. And it's about my visits to Egypt and my connection there, a reconnection with the goddess Sekhmet. So check them out on Amazon. I am continuing to write. I'm writing my, I have also a book on meditation on Amazon. And I also, it's called The White Light Meditation. And I also am writing my next book along with Steve. And Steve is writing his book. So Steve, tell me a little bit about you and what you do.
Well, I'm an expert in alien implants. I used to work with Dr. Roger Lear from 2008 to 2014 when he died, and I'm patient 15 in his implant removal project, and I had an implant removed by him, and that was in my left second toe, and I've analyzed several other implants, including my own, that he removed during the course of that project, and we uncovered startling findings, including the fact that they have carbon nanotube electronics embedded in the metal, and we uncovered the basic structure of the implants and the fact that they produce no tissue inflammation at the point of entry, and many other startling findings.
Yeah, I mean, when I first met you at a UFO conference put on by Lorian Fenton, and I had my implant scanned by you. I didn't know I had an implant, but I was pretty sure I did, especially from the back of my ear. I have this little, like a seed-feeling little thing in the back of my ear, and you checked it out. And I was like, gosh, it's to think about it and then to know it is a whole different game changer.
Yeah, I've always said there's a heck of a difference between strongly suspecting something like this is going on with you, being abducted by aliens and such, and knowing for sure. Yeah. I know when I saw the x-ray of my own toe and saw something in there after the experience I had, that changed my life forever. Yeah. It opens a door that can never be closed again.
Right, right. And for me, being a seeker of truth, for me since 1989, you know, back then we didn't have the internet, so we went to conferences and met with real people and talked with real people and hung out with real people and exchanged information. I still love doing that. And meeting up with someone and talking. So that's kind of what we're doing here tonight. For those that are on Facebook, we are still on Facebook. We are going to be going to YouTube in the next few months after we get it together technically. Thank you very much. And so, but for right now, we want to thank those that are tuning in to Facebook Live. We have Eddie Velos. I hope I'm saying that right. Welcome to the show, Eddie. And he says, wow, living proof. That's amazing. And Emily Blake Cassell, hello. And Pinky Lee. And I saw someone else earlier. I can't remember who it was that it comes to the show quite often, but I can't see her right now. Pinky Lee, right. So anyway, yeah, so we thought we would, well, I mean, we can talk a little bit about alien implants if you want, because Eddie says, wow, that's living proof. That is amazing. Don't you think that is kind of amazing, right, when you first had an implant shown to you, Steve? When was that? What year was that?
That was amazing. I first had the implant shown to me when it was my own. It was removed from my toe. I went to Dr. Lear after a strange experience at home where I saw a couple of huge raccoons in my backyard. And when I was at home, my family was away, and that was in the winter of 2008. And I fed the animals and observed them sometime. Then went to bed and in the morning, I woke up and I had a pain in the right side of my head, above my ear, and had a stinging pain in my toe, and I knew that the aliens had been there in the middle of the night and had tumor implants. And we'd had a lot of, my wife and I at the time had a lot of strange experiences, and that was kind of the last straw, and I started an investigation. And the first part of the investigation was I went to Dr. Roger Lear's office, which was only a few blocks from where I worked in Camarillo, California at the time, and told him I thought I had an alien implant. And he didn't seem to believe me at the time, but gave a prescription to x-ray my toe and said to give a copy of the x-ray to the patient. And the x-ray that he gave me the copy, I couldn't wait to get outside and put it up to the light to see if something was there. I knew there was going to be something there, but when I did see something there, it changed my life forever. Like I say, there's a heck of a difference between knowing for sure and only suspecting that something like this happened to you.
Right. And so you've been scanning people for years now, and you have special equipment that you use. You're in L.A. now. You're centered in L.A. area, shall we say? And
We're in the L.A. area, and I use techniques that Dr. Roger Lear pioneered to detect alien implants in the skin and UV dyes left behind in the body after an abduction. They're pretty much indelible and stay for several weeks after an abduction. They light up strongly under a shortwave UV light.
I know the first time I saw the UV light with orange dye that was coming off and it was on my skin, I just went, oh my gosh, that's like, that really is something from off planet. How do you know it's off planet? And we are going to talk about the UFO sighting in Southern California. We are getting to that too today on today's show. How was that, Steve?
What's the UFO sighting?
No, about all your scans and everything that you do for everybody. And
well, it's been a mind-blowing experience. I mean, I've seen a lot of strange stuff. I mean, patient 16, the guy after me in Dr. Lear's removal program, had an object in his wrist. For example, I figured that maybe I should scan him at the light the night before the surgery. And he had a large alien symbol in a yellow-green UV dye on his left upper arm that looked like a symbol pi with kind of a leg that curved a little bit. And it really freaked him out. I mean, he tried to shower like three times and wash it off, and it wouldn't wash off.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think
that's only an example of the weird stuff I've seen.
Right. Well, and in my apartment, you saw, and we have a photo with four fingers on the wall in a bright turquoise blue color, right?
Yeah, it was a bluish green color, and I also saw four fingered handprints that lit up in the UV light on the wall of my bedroom in my former Fillmore house.
Right. Right.
In Fillmore, California.
Right.
And we had a tremendous amount of alien activity in that house.
Yeah. And, so extraordinary is our everyday life, right? To some people, it seems extraordinary, but what happens with the alien implant if there's proof out there that this is real?
Yeah, the people that say that there's no proof of this or don't know what they're talking about. I mean,
right.
There's not what I guess mainstream science would consider a lot of proof, but it does definitely leave physical evidence behind.
Yeah. Well, speaking of physical evidence, from what I understand, you have some information about a UFO that was sighted here in Southern California on April 2nd.
April 2nd, about 1:40 in the morning, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And what did they say? Could you fill us in on the sighting, please?
Well, I only know what I've read in the on the internet and the papers, but they said that it was a re-entering Chinese spacecraft, which I think was a cover story.
Mm-hmm.
And some people said it was debris from a SpaceX launch a few hours before, but it does not take hours for debris from a launch to re-enter the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unlikely you'd see it anyway. It's not going to, that's not going fast enough. But some people around here, the sightings seem to be centered around where we are, around the Pasadena area. And
well, that's exciting to me. That means I don't have to go to Ohio, or I don't have to go outside of my neighborhood to have a UFO sighting experience,
no,
right?
No, Southern California is a hot spot for UFO sightings.
Right.
So is Arizona, for that matter. This whole area is. And
California itself is the highest rated, right, for UFO experience?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially Northern California is pretty hot, too, especially around the Mount Shasta area.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, witnesses said something to the effect that lights looked like they were touching the roofs of buildings around here. So that makes it pretty unlikely, in my mind, it was a re-entering Chinese spacecraft.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a typical government cover story to me.
Right. Well, and the other day, wasn't there a rocket that went up this past week?
Yeah, that SpaceX launch.
SpaceX launch, that's right.
That was launched at about 7 in the evening on the 1st. And then the UFO sighting was about 1:40 a.m. on the 2nd.
So maybe, do you think they had any kind of correlation at all?
No. I think that's almost impossible.
Okay. One thing doesn't have anything to do with the other.
I'm not sure if this re-entering Chinese spacecraft was even a real event or not, but it's unlikely that explains it as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the government has already said, hey, we have proof that there are UFOs, and we have captured them, and haven't they said something to that?
They said after that TikTok incident or off San Diego, they said that on the Nimitz, they said that knew that these UAPs, as they call them, I refuse to call them UAPs, I think UFOs fits just fine, but in any event, the unknown phenomenon was not theirs and outperformed anything they had, and they didn't know what it was. So that's the next best thing to say there, that it's alien. I mean, I'm not sure what else it could be, really.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, some of the explanations that they were coming up with about swamp gas and the planet Venus made less sense in view of the witness reports of the sightings than saying it was aliens.
Right. Well, and things are coming out more and more about Venus, about Mars, about the moon, and we're starting to get some things into the mainstream, so it's not so out there, shall we say.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not out there at all anymore. I mean, these things are not exactly rare. I mean, if you keep looking up, you're going to see them.
Right, and that's exactly what Eddie said. He says, I see them often. I think more people would if they simply look up.
Right. Usually if they're seen, they want to be seen, but not always. I mean, if you keep looking up, you're going to see one. I can almost guarantee it.
Yeah. Well, the one that I saw, like when I was in Hawaii, where it came up over the cliff, it had a full like whipped cream clouds around it. And they use clouds as cover quite often, right?
Yes, they do, especially large craft that come into the atmosphere to spy on the military and such, which they do often.
Mm-hmm.
They have means of generating clouds around them. And if you see a large cloud that's kind of lens-shaped and it's not near a mountain or anything, there's a good chance that's a UFO that's covering itself.
Right, a lenticular cloud?
A lenticular cloud that's not near a mountain is very suspect as to be cover for a large UFO.
Yeah, I think that's what they did. It looked like he took a whipped cream bottle and just went sprayed it across the skyline at night. And they were like the perfect clouds. And right underneath the edge of it, I saw like a huge light, like the size of a silver dollar, and then on the left, and then it went smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller around as it went around. And then it flew over us really fast, but it felt like it was in slow motion at the same time. And it was I and a girlfriend of mine and a whole bunch of fishermen in on the big island of Hawaii. And I had a little bit of a sunburn afterwards, too, and that's real common, I guess?
Yeah, it's pretty common. I mean, these UFOs give off ultraviolet. The plasma envelope around the craft often gives off ultraviolet light, X-rays, and electrons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you said it sometimes seems like a halo of energy around them.
Microwaves, too, for that matter.
Yeah. Oh, microwaves, yeah. Yeah, it's quite an experience, and it's really wonderful to have the experience with a group of people than all by yourself, because we had one of the fishermen come running down the mountain saying, "Did you see it? Did you see it?" It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and we all said, "Yes, we saw it." And he goes, "Oh, thank goodness." And he felt a lot better knowing that he wasn't the only one that saw it, that there was a group of us that had that experience. It was in the paper the next day. And I'll be telling that story in my book coming up. Ha, I just thought of that. Mm-hmm. So how about you, Steve? Let's hear an extraordinary experience from you.
Sure. Well, I've told this story quite a bit, but I'll tell it again. I had the experience one time where my then wife and I were in Flagstaff, Arizona, at a motel room in the winter of 1999, 2000. I think it was December of 99. And we were going to go to the Grand Canyon the next day. And all of a sudden, at about 9 o'clock at night, my wife acted like she was just hyped up on speed or something, and was insisting that I take her to Sedona, which is about... I don't know, 50 miles from there. And I said, "Well, why do you want to go now? I mean, you're not going to be able to see much in the middle of the night." And we're about to go to bed at the time. And I said, "It'll interfere with our plans to go to the Grand Canyon in the morning." And she finally insisted. And so I said, "Fine." After about, 20 minutes of arguing, I said, "Fine, I'll take you. But I have a bad feeling about this." Mm-hmm. And, so we went down Highway 40 to Highway 89 towards Sedona and got about 5 miles down Highway 89. And there was a large UFO hovering over clearing, looking bright white. And they chased us. And I tried to hit the gas, but they put me under telepathy and told me to stop the car, and I did. And they pulled her through the roof of the car with their phasing technology and a tractor beam. Mm-hmm. And they told me to stop and wait, and so I did. And about 15 minutes later, they returned her the same way, and she was hysterical. And so they gave her a shot in the abdomen. And then all of a sudden, we just forgot about the whole thing, and we were filled with anxiety. And I said, "I can't go on." And she said, "Yeah, you're right. Let's go back to the motel room." So we went back, and I didn't remember what happened for about 2 years. Huh. And she had all kinds of anxiety and problems after that, thinking people were watching her at night and such. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that she was 2 weeks pregnant with my firstborn son at the time. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's their MO. They abduct pregnant women from bloodlines they are interested in.
Right.
And modify the fetus to better suit their needs.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we could talk story all night, right? Between the two of us, we have quite the adventures.
Yeah.
But have we had so many together, you think? We haven't had any lately.
We haven't had a lot together, but we've had a lot separately.
Yeah. And so... So I think looking up is a good idea. And what will we look for if we do look up?
I would look for glowing orbs. They're either yellow, orange, or red, or bright white, and it depends on the level of power of their drive, I guess. Mm-hmm. And there's some larger ones that are obvious UFOs, and yeah, that's about it. And the ones that maneuver in such a way that they can't possibly be an aircraft, and impossible right angle turns, and shooting off into space and coming back within seconds, stuff like that, that a chemically fueled craft or an aircraft couldn't possibly do.
Right, a human crafted craft.
They're not aircraft in the usual sense. They fly by a totally different principle.
Right. Yeah, and you said they look like stars or satellites, but they don't move in a linear pattern.
Yeah, sometimes they pretend to be stars and just sit there for hours, and you'll see it shoot off.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I know the experience that I had when it came over, it was like a huge ship, and it was so quiet. It was really, really quiet.
Right. They made no noise, or no or very little noise, or the mm-hmm. noise will be, if any, will be different than what an aircraft mm-hmm. would make. And if they get close to you, they can cause the failure of electrical systems.
Right. And with us, afterwards, we were all in that stunned state that you're talking about. I think that's really common, where my friend and I, didn't say a thing to each other. We didn't say anything to anybody in the crowd except for, did you just witness what we witnessed? And everyone agreed. And then without saying a word, we all went on our separate ways. I had a convertible, a red convertible. I got in the convertible. My friend got in the convertible. And we didn't say a word to each other. And we start going down this 15-mile road. It's like in the southern tip of Hawaii on South Point. And we're starting to go back, and we see this huge, they have these huge windmills there. And when we saw it in the fog, there also was a lot of fog. That's right. And that's real common, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, with UFOs, fog is common, yeah.
Right.
The electrical fields they give off, I think, causes fog.
Right. So all this thick fog was there. Go ahead.
I had another story where, this is a bit shorter, where my whole family, my mother, father, and my three children, and my ex-wife and I were traveling in two vehicles along Highway 40, traveling east near Newbury Springs, California. Almost probably around I don't know the exact year, but it was probably around 1998, mm-hmm. probably 1998, I would think. And we saw it was about 11 o'clock at night. We were traveling towards our place in Bullhead City, Arizona, and we saw an orb, perhaps 6 feet in diameter, go past us within 50 yards. Mm-hmm. And that a red and a green light, and it was moving at perhaps the speed of sound, maybe about 600-700 miles an hour, I would estimate.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody saw it except my oldest son, who had stated a few days before that he was tired of hearing about aliens. And I don't think that was a coincidence somehow.
No. Well, I want to ask you, too. I know I've had the experience of meeting. I think I've met an alien. I know this sounds weird, but I was where the beings, they were a little bit off when they started talking to me. I'll just back up and start it. Okay. So I was in my home minding my own business. Someone knocked on the door, and on the door there was this young gentleman who said he was there for a movie they were shooting, and they needed me to sign for permission to do that. And so it's like three pages or something. You know, like, oh, I don't think I want to sign it. And then, so I start looking at it. He seems like a nice enough guy. And so I signed it, and he came back the next day and said, well, the shooting's over with, and I just wanted to thank you. And he goes, and this is the line that usually happens. And there's something about you, you know? And so we started talking. He was interested in ETs and UFOs, and we talked about Sasquatch and those sorts of things, a total complete stranger. So it ended up that I ended up doing a reading for him about 2 weeks later. But after he came in, after he sat down for me to do a reading in person, there was still something, I haven't seen him since, but there's something that was a little bit strange about him. And I've seen this with at a conference that I was in a long time. Hey, there's our hummingbird. Just so people know, there's our hummingbird that comes for the show. Did you see him there for a moment, Steve? Yeah, we have a hummingbird that comes here on Fridays to hear about the show or to just say hello. I was wondering if he was going to make it tonight. So anyway, so there's about something about them that they look perfect, or like their clothes are perfect, their hair was perfect, almost like they were walking out of a magazine during a different time period.
It was a man in black.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, they always have brand new clothes on.
Ah, because it was like, I didn't know that. Really? I've never heard that before.
Yeah. Ah.
Okay, so they were checking me out right then, I guess, to see what was going on or who I was or something, I guess. I don't know. But there was something about him that didn't feel right. Not that it didn't feel right. It felt different. Their energy was different. It was like their energy, it wasn't a real high vibration. It wasn't a low vibration. It was a different vibration.
Like the robots or something.
Almost.
Biological
almost.
Robots.
Almost like that. Yeah.
Men in black. There's two types of men in black. There's human men in black that are most likely NSA agents. I've been led to believe that the NSA has jurisdiction over alien activity on Earth, or at least the United States. And there's also the aliens that have their own security squad that uses hybrids that look a little bit weirder than the human men in black. How weird do they look?
Well, I couldn't tell if he was male or female, really, because he had a beard, kind of a red beard. It was perfectly manicured, but from like almost like a Spanish beard from back in the day.
Was he muscular or was he skinny?
He was muscular.
Okay. That sounds more like a human man in black.
Okay. He was a little muscular. It looked like he worked out. But it didn't fit him. His clothes didn't fit him right. There was something, it just felt like his jeans were brand new. His shirt was brand new. He had a rolled up jean cuff. His shoes were spotless.
It sounds like it could be an alien hybrid that didn't change their MO somewhat, but who knows?
Yeah. Well, and also when I was on Mount Shasta, which is, I used to spend a lot of summer time there on Mount Shasta.
There's a lot of alien sightings there.
A lot of alien sightings there. I got lost looking for a cave, and I got really lost. Like, I didn't know where I was in the mountain at all. And I stopped, and I had a map, but a terrible map, and I'm not really good with maps. So I was just kind of, oh, let spirit take me where it needs to go, kind of, you know. And so I'm in the car, and I'm driving all around the mountain in Mount Shasta, and then I'm lost. And so we come up to a 1950s blue pickup truck, and again, the guy gets out of the truck. And it's like he was waiting for us, though, which is kind of strange. And on blue jeans, perfect blue jeans, perfect plaid shirt. And as he's talking to us, he says, do you mind if I eat lunch while I'm talking to you? And I go, no, we're good. So he brings out those old 1950s lunch pails like my dad used to have when he went to work, with the rounded top, and it's gray. And he flips it open, and he takes off the top, and he has this little coffee cup that he pours his coffee into. And then he has a sandwich that's in a plastic, the old wax paper sandwich bags, you know, and he has an apple in there. And he has all of these aerial maps in the back of his truck. And he said he was doing some surveying there. I didn't see any surveying equipment. And when I looked into the back of this truck, the maps didn't look like a normal map, though, either. There was something about them that was a little bit strange. And he asked me, he says, well, there is a cave right here to the left. If you just go down about 20 feet and to your left, he said, it's a beautiful cave, and it's pristine, because I had been looking at other caves, and the caves had a lot of markings in them, and they were really gross and dirty and had a lot of bats in them, and I didn't want to go in them very far. And he says, and he goes, yeah, just go ahead and go down to the left and go into the cave. And I went down into the cave. It's the most beautiful cave I had ever seen on the inside. And it was huge. It had this huge circular, like a meeting place. You could put like 200 people in there. And then as it goes down, it had these lower corridors splitting off to different chutes going down. And I didn't feel comfortable going down the chutes. And I sat there and did a meditation and said hello to the cave. You know, hello, cave, thanks for, you know, hosting me today. And is there anything I need to know about the Mount Shasta? And what I was shown were, and I read about this later at the reading room, there's a famous reading room in Mount Shasta. The whole walls were like 12, 13 feet tall, all of amethyst crystals. So the whole walls were like amethyst crystals for as far as I could see, and other different minerals. And there were pools of water, and it was just really beautiful.
That's kind of geology, or there could be gold in there, too.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So I enjoyed it, and I had a wonderful time, and it was a pristine cave. I could never find it again if there's no way. And as I'm coming back, I was in there probably about 3 hours. It was just starting to get dark. And when I came out, there was a gentleman there, and he had been waiting. And I said, oh, you're still here? I thought you had surveying to do. And he says, no, my lady. He says, I wanted to make sure you were safe. And then I got in my car and left. But there was something strange about it, right?
That's very strange.
Hey, it's Eric Mitchell. There's some awesome people. Eric Mitchell, oh, my gosh. Hey, you have to come on the show, Eric, all right?
Hey, Eric, how are you? Oh, long time no see.
Yeah, what a nice surprise. Wow. Wow. Hey, you have to come on, Eric. We want to hear about you. Okay, let's see. And he says, yeah. Wow, it's been a long time. And you have some stories to tell, Eric Mitchell, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Are you still in Arkansas? Are you in Arkansas? Reach out. We would love to connect with you.
Arkansas, CIA Central.
It is.
Dad landed there with, he used to be a private pilot, and he landed there with our family one time at Mena Airport. And some CIA people came out, and were all suspicious of why he was there.
Oh, Eric says, got my social media fixed. Right. Hey, you know, I might not have a huge following, but we have, it's kind of a quiet strength to us, shall we say. Maybe a few. I'm always traveling. Okay. Very cool. Well, we wish you the best, Eric, for sure. You know that.
Yeah.
So,
Happy landings.
And you have a movie coming out, or your movie came out, right, Eric, about your adventures and your very, very significant sighting and experience that changed your life forever, right? When you have an experience with these beings and these ships, it does change you, and it's supposed to make you smarter, right? So I don't know.
Oh, much smarter, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Holy crap, Mena. Holy crap, Mena.
Yeah, I landed there with my dad when I was like 2 or 3 years old. Maybe 2 years old now.
Wow. And you used to fly your dad's plane, right?
I've got 15 hours solo time. I never got my license, but I can fly a plane.
Yeah, no. Well, how's that compared to flying a ship?
It's different. I mean, the principles are totally different. UFOs operate on an anti-gravity drive, and you're pushing against the fabric of space with the anti-gravity drive, and requires high voltages and such. Mm-hmm. And in an aircraft, you're pushing against the air, so it's totally different. And most alien equipment is thought controlled, so you have to control your thoughts pretty precisely.
Right, right, and we've been working on that for a while. And Eric says he has a book he's working on. That's great. Okay, Eric, I want it done. Let's get it done, all right? Get her done. So where do you want to take this from here? We're kind of just having, kind of cruising today. Let's talk just briefly about the eclipse coming up.
Three more days.
It's, you know, I want to just reach out to all of our friends over at Serpent Mound in Ohio, where they will be doing a star conference with Terry Rivera and her husband. And it's going to be amazing, just amazing time there. So if you're out in Ohio and are at Serpent Mound or close to it, check out Terry's site, the Serpent Mound Star Conference, and they'll be there for the next 3 days. Steve and I were going to go, and we were able to make it, but let's see. I love Ohio now. I just got here today. So, Eddie, you're going to be there. Are you going to be at the Eddie's going to be there at the Serpent Mound. Eddie, are you going to be with Terry Rivera's group? With the Star Conference. I'm under it. You're both welcome. Oh. So, yeah. Well, if you ever come to L.A., Eric, you know, you can come stay with us. We'd love to have you. So, Eddie's with Terry Rivera's group, Steve.
Oh. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it is an alignment. That happens. When's the next time it's going to happen again? Do you know when?
The alignment of what now?
The next solar eclipse.
I don't know offhand. There's not going to be another one in this country for a long time, I'm pretty sure.
Right, and probably not in my lifetime either, right?
I don't know. I'd have to check, but it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
30 years at least, I think.
Wow. Well, it's going to be a beautiful time, And it's a time to just maybe take a moment, right, and look at your alignment with yourself. And so everything gets in alignment. There's darkness for a few minutes. But, you know, it's good to embrace that dark part of you, right? Nothing to be afraid
embrace
of.
Embrace the darkness.
Nothing to be afraid.
Embrace the horror, I say.
It's nothing to be afraid of. We're not perfect, you know, and so...
No, eclipses are harmless.
Yeah. And so it is a time that we can, it's just a beautiful, organized intelligence that if we can let go and trust a little bit, I would say a lot of the time it has our back, you know? And you know me, I talk about having an intuitive life and leading an intuitive life more so than a controlled life, although we have to work and walk between both worlds, right? But
yeah,
and Eddie lives in LA. Hey, well, that's fantastic. Inner stand, out, outer stand. Oh, that's good. I like that, Eric. That's awesome. Well, yeah, because we're going to be doing some things in LA. We're going to do a Star Watch and a Steve's going to do some alien implants scans, and then I'll be doing like mini readings with that as a master psychic. So we're going to start to do some things in LA. So you'll have to join us, Eddie. We'd love to have you. Yeah. So it's just a different way of being, right?
Right. A hybrid way of being.
The hybrid. It
an
is,
alien way of being.
It is kind of an alien way that we're not, you know.
It's the alien way.
Oh, maybe we'll call it.
It is the way.
Now you sound like, what's that? What's that?
The Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian. That's right. It is the way. This is the way. Is that what they say?
Yeah.
This is the way. Yeah.
They say it with such conviction, too.
Oh, thanks for that, Eric. He says, I'm the best intuitive he's ever met. So that's good. So you met one or two, right? No, just kidding, Eric. But yeah, so it's nice to have an alignment, something extraordinary, and we get to be a part of something extraordinary and having an extraordinary life, right? We don't want to get bored or anything.
No, I've been anything but bored the last 30 years, believe me. You wouldn't believe what's going on.
Yeah. So,
a little too exciting, actually.
Well, I know, because we were saying, like, at my old place, I had a lot of alien activity, and I'm in the new place now. We're in the new place, and there's zero here, right? We were talking about that.
So far.
Yeah.
This isn't the easiest place for them to abduct people from, though, so.
Right.
But give them time.
Give them time. Okay, well, we'll keep you posted on that.
Yeah.
And so so the eclipse is coming, and in that moment of darkness, we can embrace that as a, because there's darkness and light on this planet. As we live our first breath, we know we're going to die. So there's the life and the death. And, you know, tonight on today's show, I've been drawing spirals. And I started drawing those ever since my near-death experience with the UFO experience in 1989. And I just draw them. And I think it is the cycle of a birth comes the cycle of death.
Yes.
Yes, and not to be afraid of it, you know, but that
wait
is...
Until World War III starts pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. I want peace on this planet, though. I think part of my work here is for peace. You know that.
Well, I've said before, and I'll say it again, that it's pretty scary because the situation right now reminds me a lot. My dad was a World War II historian, and the situation right now reminds me a lot of the situation right before World War II started. Mm-hmm. World War II did not start in Europe. It started in Southeast Asia
mm-hmm.
when the Japanese attacked China in 1937. Mm-hmm. And this situation reminds me a lot of that situation with China as the new Japan and Russia as the new Germany.
And, oh, can you say that again? Because it just...
I said the situation reminds me a lot of the situation right before the start of World War II with Russia as the new Germany and China as the new Japan.
Okay. So what can we do about this? What can we do as a citizen? You know, it's
I'm not sure there's anything we can do.
Well, we can pray for peace.
Well, pray for peace, sure.
I know.
I mean, that's always an option.
We can raise our vibration. I know those sound like little things.
Well, I mean, our government's been pretty jerky abroad in the last 50 years or so. But mm-hmm. I think right now in this situation, the Chinese are the ones that are really looking for a fight.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a major power act as aggressive as they've been acting the last 10 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
It's really truly frightening in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do we have peace? Well, we have to have peace within ourselves and then peace in our home, peace in our community, peace.
Well, real peace is much more than the absence of war. It means mm-hmm. that everybody's being taken care of and everybody is happy and everybody is feels like they've got justice done, that sort of thing.
Well, I don't think we're there right now in the U.S. at all.
We're nowhere near there.
Right. We have a lot of... homeless. I mean, LA has the worst, one of the very worst homeless people that are just, it's like a whole subculture within a culture that growing up in the 50s, I mean, we never had anything close to that at all. Everyone had a job or a way to get a job. So there is chaos, right? we're going through this chaos.
Yes,
part.
There's chaos everywhere right now, I'm afraid.
Okay, so Eric says, when they hit Taiwan, make plans. That's what Eric
says.
Yeah,
I hate to say it, but I usually am against the U.S. getting involved in foreign wars, but they've set up a situation where we cannot afford to let Taiwan fall.
Mm-hmm.
Among other things, have the sole manufacturing capability for a lot of chips that are involved in a lot of military weapons. And I hope they're trying like heck to bring that capability back to the U.S., but until that happens, we cannot allow Taiwan to fall. Also, it's a very strategic location, and if the Chinese get that, they'll be able to control the entire South China Sea like they want.
Right, and my,
there's a lot of shipping going through there. So,
and my daughter lived in Thailand for 3 years and is thinking about going back. So, if Taiwan, there's Thailand right there, the whole, like you're saying, that whole section.
Yeah, the situation in Taiwan is much more important to the U.S. strategically than Ukraine ever thought of being.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why they're devoting such attention to Ukraine, except that Biden has some crooked business deals going on there or something along those lines.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole other show. I think we can go into that a little bit.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. All right.
But I think there are ulterior motives for the U.S. being so terribly interested in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that the Ukraine needed our help, though, to keep the citizens there from being encroached upon, from Russia or.
Well, I suppose. But, I mean, when there are stories about us having biological weapons base it there. If that's true, then I can see why the Russians were a little bit upset about that.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what Eric Mitchell says, when they hit Taiwan, make plans. So awesome to see you guys. Great to see you, Eric Mitchell. And Eddie says, the world's religions need to unite behind universal truth and principles of morality, with the love of light making all fall into its proper place. Nationalism is dangerous. People don't love people the way we should. If we loved all as we love our own children, many things would fix themselves. Steve's intelligence has always been unmatched, says Eric Mitchell.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for recognizing my greatness.
It takes one to know one, right?
Yeah, I think you're pretty intelligent too, man. We're both hybrids after all, right?
Yes, we're all hybrids, right? Hey, you didn't say my intelligence, Eric. No, I'm just kidding.
She's very intelligent.
Okay, well, we're getting ready to almost for our first hour is a break. And thanks, everyone, for checking in today on the Cosmic Oracle Show. And we can talk a little bit about whatever you want. I think I'm going to do our usual part two is I'm going to do a guidance on a meditation to expand your consciousness. And so I think that'll be really fun. That'll come up right after the second hour. But we could talk a little more if you want, Steve. Are you ready to? I don't know. How are you feeling tonight?
I think I'll turn it over to you for the
next
hour.
Okay. All right. Steve's going to turn it over to me.
Maybe I'll chime in at the end.
Okay, chime in on the end. We'd love to have you then.
Sounds great.
Well, thanks for coming our first hour and being part of the show. And
you're very welcome, as always.
Okay, well.
Always glad to help out.
I love having you on. And so thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Eric says, her intuitive mind blows mine. I've been training, though. Ooh.
Oh,
okay, Eric. I want to talk about techniques then.
Yeah.
Because I have my school.
You should take your classes.
Yeah. Steve took my class, Eric. He took my class. So what do you think, Steve?
No, I think it was great. It was very life-changing.
It can be. It can be, right?
Yeah.
Pinky says she loves my guided meditation. So that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going off to part number two. So we're going to go on break from 5:57 to 6:04, where Revolution Radio will come in and tell you about what's going on Revolution Radio. We'll be back at 6:04, and then we'll go into expanded consciousness that's where the fun is. Sometimes it can be really tough to be here, you know, in all of this. And for me, meditation is a big key. It's the way I can keep my cool. Or like in that, what's that movie where Jane, where he says, "You're breaking my calm." Do you remember that movie?
I'll remember it.
Oh, in the movie, it's in a Firefly. It's called Firefly.
Oh, yeah, Firefly. At least the captain said that.
Jane, yeah, he goes, "You're breaking my calm." And so for me, meditation is a key where it keeps me calm and keeps me in my body and grounded. And Eric says, "Steve took your class. That's dangerous." That probably is, right?
I'm the best of both worlds now.
Yeah, he can walk between the worlds, no problem. So, yeah. So, okay, everyone. Well, thanks for tuning in. We are going to go on this break until 6:04, and then we'll come back, and I'll lead you in an expanded consciousness experience. Da, 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 da. I wish I had light and sound and music with all of that, but you'll have to use your... But you can see the background. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Right. Da, 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 da.
Maybe the Next Generation theme playing in the background.
Right. Right. But we have to come up with a handshake then, a secret handshake or something, right?
Yeah.
Eric says, "Love you guys." We love you too, Eric.
Love you too, yeah. I hope to see you again soon.
Right, and thanks for doing all the work you do, Eric, with so many people for such a long period of time. You know, you're just such a good person and a hybrid too. And how to, when you're downloaded with such information so quickly, how do you acclimate that in a body, right?
Yeah, like I told you before, that must have been really disorienting. I've been like this all my life. I can't even imagine what it must have been like to be all of a sudden turned into a being like this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, well, we'll be right back after this break. Yes.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B. at freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Hello and welcome back. Got a little bit of feedback. Let me fix that. There we go. Hello and welcome back to the Cosmic Oracle Show. This is your host, Barbara Jean Lindsay, for the second hour. And we're having such a good time tonight. It's Friday night. It is beautiful here in L.A. Blue skies, beautiful white, almost perfect clouds. Maybe we'll have a flyby. You know, we do this show for Arcturians and Pleiadians and all of the mixed races as well. You know, there's like a Heinz 31 mixes of races out there, too. So I want to thank our off-planet beings for coming by and coming into the Cosmic Oracle Show tonight and being a part of this show. And I have some old friends that stopped by. Eric Mitchell came by. It's really nice to see you, Eric. Yes, I do remember when we had shots. And I told you to always be a, you know what, I got good at it. Well, I don't know exactly what that. Well, I've always seen you as a friend, a good friend and brother and we just have a definitely a special connection, and it'll always be there. And so it just is. And so thanks for coming here and being on the show tonight, kind of with us, with Steve and I and with everyone. And It's great to hear from you, especially. It's been a while. It's been a while. All these memories flood back when I went to Arkansas and we had such a good time, and I went with my friends, and my dad's from Arkansas. Wait, I have to think. My mom's from Arkansas. It was my mom from Arkansas. My dad's from Mississippi. And so it was nice connecting with some roots. And Eric, I got to see where you actually had your extraordinary ET UFO experience, right? That just changed your life forever. And I got to witness you having that experience again, going back to that time and place, and seeing your body go into a little bit of PTSD from having that experience, right? And I think we filmed it. I don't know if we did or not. I don't think we did. I think we just went to see it, and you ended up talking to some neighbors that you had not talked to in a long time as well. So it was really a wonderful experience. And I was supposed to meet up with you in Sedona, but that didn't happen. But it's happening. Our friendship is golden. And so, and it's really nice to have you drop by this evening and chat along with everyone else who've come in on tonight's show. We've had Pinky Lee. Thank you, Pinky. And we had some great comments by Eddie Velos, who will be at Terry Rivera's Star Conference, Eclipse Star Conference coming up. And it was just really a nice shout out from the past. So with Eric Mitchell today. So we have a big long future ahead of us, and we'll see where spirit takes us, right? And so where it's going to take us tonight is, before we get started, I want to thank you for giving generously to Revolution Radio. It's an all-volunteer station, and no one gets paid. So we're here only by the generosity of your own heart. And so it's just go to revolution.radio. That's revolution.radio. Give whatever you can. You can go to my website, BarbaraJeanLindsay.com, and schedule a reading for me or take my classes. I have a level 2 class starting next Saturday. I have a new level 1 class starting in April. Call me, chat with me, let's talk about it. It's an 8-week class. It's 2 hours a week. I start at the very beginning, and the first hour is information, and the second hour is hands-on. So we do the very first night, you'll do your very first psychic reading. And so I'd love for you to join us and be a part of my world of mystery school, is what it's kind of turned into. From all over the world, I have people coming from all over the world and taking my classes, and I really love teaching about the art of giving a reading and tuning in to your own psychic ability, your own intuitive ability, and working with this beautiful body that you have as a spirit in a soul, in a body, and having that communication be clear, and working in how to tune it up, how to, you know, go. Sometimes the body can give you, for me, I had asthma a lot as a kid, and so I have all of this, I have a lot of pain in the body, and so in order to get out of that pain, instead of medicating, which I do with my friends, and I do have a lot of fun, I love having fun with my friends, and shots are important sometimes, or having a cocktail, I'm okay with that, you know, and I love it. It's a part of celebrating life. I'm a person that really likes to celebrate life, and I'm really thankful, grateful for still being here, because actually I died on December 4th, 1989, and there's like, I'm just, every day is a gift to be here, to see my children grow up, to see my grandchildren be born. You know, those sweetness of life, that's really, really a beautiful experience. Even in all this chaos, though, I do want to be mindful of what's going on in the world always. I do know that it's a responsibility to be here as well and to take care of this planet and to honor her and to love her and make sure she's here for the next 7 generations at least and be a part of all of that as well. So anyway, I'd love to have you take my classes. It's exciting. I've been doing it for a long time. It's still something that I really love to do. So if you think you want to tune into your own intuitive abilities, write me at, you can contact me here on Facebook, Barbara Jean Lindsay, anytime, and I would love to have a conversation with you about that. So, all right. So anyway, we're going to go and expand our consciousness right now. Thank you for that, Eric. And so here we go. So we're going to go ahead and start. And the way you do it, it's really simple, really, the way if you want to expand. Why would we want to expand our consciousness, right? Why can't we be comfortable right where we are? And we can't. I'm saying you can be walking around in your body in a full consciousness, right? And expand that consciousness so that you remember who you are and why you're here and what this is all about. And it's not about shopping, right? It's not about all these things that we get busy with, right? We get so busy that we forget to take time out and really take a breath. And so tonight we're going to do that. It's Friday night. And we're going to take a breath and expand our consciousness. And so the way we're going to start to do that is we're going to go ahead. The best way to expand your consciousness, if you're not driving or operating machinery, is to close your eyes. It's amazing what closing your eyes can do, right? So if you're not doing anything dangerous, if you're not driving a car, and you're in a good place. And I would suggest, too, setting the mood. Let's set the mood. It's like where you're setting the mood if you have friends coming over for the evening and you want your house to look kind of good. You know, you throw things in the closet and buy some flowers, maybe light a few candles and set the energy, right? So it's like tonight we're going to, if you have a moment, let's set the energy for consciousness raising tonight. And the way you can do that is simple things. You can light a candle. I lit a candle for tonight. It's something that I always do for, try and do for each class is I light a candle and I set the space. I've already done some smudging with some ceremonial sage earlier. I saged myself and with a beautiful feather that I was gifted. And I'll burn some herbs and set the stage for tonight. Oh, Dave Scott. Hey, Dave. Oh, my God. What? Everybody's turning out tonight, right? Hey, Dave, you have the best show. Put in your information for people to contact you. Dave Scott, okay? And you're going to have your big party in Nevada City, right? I think it's Nevada City. Oh, Dave Scott. Oh, my God. It's so good to see you. And Dave Scott says, Eric Mitchell is handsome. You guys are so funny. The most important things we do in life is closing our eyes to hug, kiss, to dance, and to feel. It's so true. It's so very, very, very true. Because then we get to go inside and see what we're all about, right? And so we set the space. So if you set the space, and then you can set that with an intention. To say tonight, great spirit. I always talk to spirit, right? I call spirit great spirit, but you can call great spirit whatever you want to call. You can call Krishna. You can call love. You can just call, you know, all my relations, right? All my relatives. You can call in your spirit guides. You can call in your guardians, your protectors. There's so many so many entities and beings of higher caliber, shall we say? Yeah, attunement. Because see, when you have a body and you're on the earth, there's a density to the earth, and there's a beauty to that too, because you have a body that's dense. And as a spirit, if you pop out of your body, you're light and you're bright and you're sparkling and you're beautiful and you have all this vitality and intelligence and wisdom. And then you can pop back in the body and run all of that through the body, right? But when you pass, when you die, you lay down your skin dressing and you still exist, right? So that's the part we're talking about. is this part about our consciousness and expanding it. And if you have an experience with an alien being, an off-planet being, an experience that blows your mind, right? Because the mind will only take you so far. And then you just got to, as you've heard me say before, the Egyptians used to throw the mind out. They didn't even think, they didn't put it in canopic jars. They just, you don't really need that. And so, but with consciousness, we can relax and let go and expand who we are and where we are. And so tonight we're going to do that. And for all of those that are checking in here on the show tonight and who talk maybe later, who come in, Eric Mitchell and Dave Scott, this is awesome. It's really wonderful. My brothers, coming in. And sometimes when you go to the mall and you're just walking, checking it out, you'll see people that you're interested in talking with them, or you're interested in maybe I know that person, or something sparks. And that's probably because you've known that person in a past life, or you have some energy or information to exchange with one another, right? And so that happens a lot too. So we're not just these bodies, these pieces of a meat suit walking around, right? We're much, much more than that. But also, it's really fun to enjoy having a body as well. And I do enjoy having a female body this lifetime. And there's our hummingbird again checking us out. And also, I've had male bodies as well. So it's really wonderful to have a male body as well. And then with all the transgender and all of that, I mean, it all melts right into this. We're just these wonderful, glowing entities here in the specific time and place to help change some things. Because there are a lot of things that we need to change on this planet right now. We can't keep on doing the things that we've been doing. And so we're going to, by expanding your consciousness, also really ups the ante of creating and co-creating together. And that's what Dave Scott does with his group, right? It's together, right, Dave? You're building your community, and that's kind of what we're doing here. We're building community with one another, and where we can be with each other and hang out and talk about all of these wonderful subjects and be applauded for them or thanked for our wisdom or our connection or our energy and reminded that we're very connected to one another. And so so let's go ahead and connect with one another. And so we're going to close our eyes and go into that space. And so from this space, I'm going to be in my sixth chakra. And if you don't know where your sixth chakra is, when I first learned about having a body, I'll tell you, when I closed my eyes, I disappeared, okay? So in order to come to my body as a being, I used to do a little spit, dip, or if you have some oil, just putting it right in the sixth chakra, and that's right above your eyebrows, right in the middle of your head. And I open this beautiful spiral there, a nice, gentle spiral. You don't need a guru to do this. You can do this yourself. And just open that spiral and then go in where that spot is and go into the middle of your head and be aware of being aware. Be aware of what you see, what you feel, what you know, and just be there. So it's kind of like having a First Nation tobacco circle. You know, just stay there as long as you can. And what happens is you start to build a relationship with the body, and you can stay there for hours, right? And it just takes practice. It just takes a little practice. But when I first started learning how to meditate and how to be aware of being aware and of being aware of my consciousness and my tuning in with all that is, all that was, all that will be, right? We're multidimensional. We're going to keep it simple tonight. So we're just going to be in the middle of our head. We're going to drop down just a little bit into that pineal gland space. And we're just going to be in this space. I used to go in this space when I was a little kid, and I didn't know what this space was called. And it is. It does look like a third eye. For me, it's circular. It's a circular, and it kind of vibrates. Ba-boom, ba-boom, kind of ba-boom, kind of like that. And it looks kind of organic, and it can have colors, different color in it. Tonight, mine has a lot of green and white. Let me take off my glasses, though. So I'm going to go up, I'm going to be aware, and I'm going to go right up here in the middle of my head. And I'm going to sit back into the middle of my head. Now, in my middle of my head, I'm just going to let go and relax, and let go and relax, and let go and relax, and become lighter and lighter and brighter and brighter. And lighter and lighter and brighter and brighter. And each space, each breath that I take, I'm going to become more and more and more relaxed. And so if you've closed your eyes, you're up in the middle of your head, and you're in this space, okay? This let go space. No time, no space. And you fully exist in this space. And you can sit like on a chair, on a floating lotus petal, if you want, in your sixth chakra, in that center of your head. So just be there. Be there now. Be there. Right. Be here now, right? Be here now, in this moment, in this precious moment. And what happens is the body starts to say, I need to go to the bathroom, I need a drink of water, and it starts to need attention, right? And so you can let that go. You don't have to judge it. You don't have to do anything with it. There's no perfect way to do this. You're just being aware of being aware in the body with your eyes closed. And from this space, just sit there. It's a beautiful place to be in. And from that sixth chakra, you can kind of look up through your head, through the top of your head. Let's try that now. And go on up to that crown chakra. And let's sit on top of the head. Not too far up, real close to the head for now. So from that sixth chakra, let's just go up through that crown. And let's just sit up there. Now, I like to walk around up there. For some reason, I flick a Bic, and I light a fire, and I like to walk around up there. But you'll find out what you like to do up there, okay? And say hello. Say hello to your ancestors, right? Hey, Grandma, Grandpa. You can tune in. And you can say hello to any of your guides that you might have. Maybe some new ones, and hang out with them, kind of have a conversation. We forget sometimes we're conditioned to only be observers, where really it's all about having conversation with our guides, having asked them questions or received gifts from them. So up from this crown chakra, I know some of you are thinking, well, you didn't start at the first chakra and you didn't work all the way up. You don't have to do that all the time. Just right. We're going to go right to it. We're going to be in between that six and crown. And we're going to sit and float up just above our crown chakra. Say hello to the body. I like to say hello to the body. You're doing a really good job, body. Pat the body. Good job, body. Yay. And ask the body if it needs anything from you, right? Might need some water. Might need, you know, a glass of wine. It might need some sustenance of some sort. And just talk to the body and see what the body would like. And just wait and do nothing. How's that? Doing nothing is being everything, right? That's the key. So go ahead and sit up in this crown chakra and have spirit bring you all the love that you're looking for. Just bring it to you now. You don't have to wait. You can just have it now. And that can come as color or light. Sometimes I feel like it's like pouring. It's pouring from the sky in kind of a liquid love light, right? And have that just kind of fill up your crown chakra. You can actually take your hand and pat the top of your crown. And you should feel maybe some electricity or some vibes there. Go ahead and feel that crown chakra. Feels electrical. And go ahead and feel it all the way around. And then you go ahead and put your head down, your hand down to your side and relax. And still be up there. Some of you went back down with your hand. That's okay. Come back on up through that belly, through the fourth chakra in your heart, up through the fifth, up through this beautiful sixth in the crown chakra. There we go. Right there, right there. Yes, right there. Oh, you're doing great. You're doing great. So from this crown chakra, go ahead and take a look at the world and see if you have any answers that you are going to bring to the world. What is your best medicine that you bring to the planet? Why are you here? What's the elixir that you can pour for others? Is that through reading, through dance, through writing, through classes, through having more fun? We're going to wait for a moment to see what it is. What's your best elixir that you bring to the planet at this time? What is it, something that maybe your lineage has done for a long time? I come from a lineage of songwriters and theater and songsters and entertainers and sensitives, right? I'm ultra, ultra sensitive, which is really good. There you go. And from this space, go ahead and say hello to your auric field. And let's bring it in a little bit around you. There you go. And you can just put up a little protection around you if you would like at this time. Put up some symbols of protection in front of your auric field, to the right of your auric field, to the back of your auric field, to the left, up above and below. Give it a little spin and let it kind of clean off your auric field while you're sitting up in that crown chakra. It's kind of like having a spiritual car wash, right? There you go. And from this beautiful space, let's just give everyone a spiritual high five. Here's to everyone out there. Eric, Scott, Dave, Pinky, Ed, Emily. Because where we go together, right? We're connected. Humans like to be connected. All right. And then from this space, we're going to go ahead and pop down into the sixth chakra. And when we do that, we're going to close down the crown a little bit now. It's pretty open. And that's good to do during meditation or when you're home alone. You don't want it way wide open when you're out in public, all right? I call it going out into the world. You want to keep your crown closed a little bit, so protect it. There you go. Good job. That crown's brought down. The sixth chakra looks good. Let's clear it out while we're there. This is a mudra that you can use, a hand mudra, to just clear out anything. There we go. And from the sixth chakra, let's drop down into that fifth chakra and clear out that voice box where you can speak your truth. You're safe to speak your truth this lifetime. And from that fifth chakra, let's go down into the fourth chakra, a beautiful, beautiful emerald green. And spin that and clear it and open it, that it's safe to open again. Not only to give love, but to receive love. And love can come in various forms. Not only a partner love, but a friendship love, a family love, a best friend love, an associate at work love. You know, has lots of different expressions that love can take. And from the space in the fourth chakra, we can kind of be in alignment with the fifth, sixth, and seventh. And from this beautiful space of expansion, let's just go ahead and drop down into that third chakra. And let's clean up our third chakra, right at your belly button there. And we're going to power up. It's right above your belly button. I like to power up this third chakra. Kind of let's clear it out and power it up. Whoop, 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 whoop. So it's kind of like a little nuclear reactor in that third chakra. So let's go ahead and power it up and own it. This is your power center for the body, right? And then we're going to go on down into that second chakra full of emotions. It's where we feel, right? And if you're an intuitive and a empath, you're going to feel everything. So you learn how to be able to do that and when to turn it up and when to turn it off and how to turn it on. It just takes a little practice or a lot of practice. And go ahead and turn down that second chakra for right now. But you can go ahead and feel it for a while. It's okay to feel everything. And then if you don't want to feel it, then just turn it down a little bit till you're comfortable. You have control over it. It doesn't control you. You control it. And then let's go down to that first chakra, a beautiful red color. And this is where we're grounded. Da-dum, ba-boom. You know, you ground all that connection. You ground all that energy. Ba-boom. And we can turn that down a little bit. There you go. And then we can put down a grounding cord from the root chakra all the way down to the center of the planet. Can be a beautiful light cord and release any negativity, anything that your body wants to let go of that doesn't serve you at this time. Now, a lot of you went down the grounding cord with it. It's okay. So go ahead and come on up that first chakra and go ahead and come on up that second, come on up that third, and let that grounding cord stay on release. That's good. Come on up to the fourth. Come on up to the fifth, come on up to the sixth, come on up to the crown. And this is where you give thanks to you and the love and the wisdom that you bring to the planet. Oh, amen. And then we'll go ahead and from that crown chakra, go ahead and go into that sixth and go ahead and open your eyes. And see how we're doing. All right. How's everybody doing? How was that for you? Om Shanti. That's right. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. And this is where you can do a mantra from that upper, from that upper, from those upper chakras, right? And so, you know, when life's getting you down and everything, and it's starting to be a challenge, right? We are in challenging times. You can turn down those lower chakras and be up in those crown chakra. I like to stay up in the crown a lot, the sixth and seventh, some in the fifth. But I spend a lot of time up in these upper chakras. I like having a life from that viewpoint. It's an expanded consciousness, right? You have an expanded view of the world from up there. And you can get a lot of information from there. So you're never alone, all right? There's always someone there to help you. Even in the worst times, there's always the helpers. And so tonight's meditation and expanded consciousness is dedicated to all the helpers out there. And you know who you are, right? So I want to say hello to you and thank you. Oh, Joyce says, oh, yes, much better now. Thank you. Yeah, I love doing these. So we're thinking about maybe kind of doing these the first hour. We can talk about whatever subjects you'd like to talk about. And then that second hour, I'm just going to do a meditation each Friday, that second hour meditation. I find that I need it myself, right? Teach what you need, right? Teach what you need to know. So tonight I just did kind of an expanded consciousness one. But we could do a journey where I can see if I can get my drum going and we could take a shamanic journey. Might be really fun, too, to take you to meet some of your guides or something like that. But whatever you think that you would like for me to do in this, I'm open to teaching these sorts of things if that's something that you would like. And here on Revolution Radio, I know for a while I would give readings. It's Venus Day meditation. Okay, Venus Day meditation. All right. And you know what I just found out the other day? You know, because Thor, I have this relationship with Thor, the god of thunder, because he is the one who actually saved my life during my near-death experience, right? And that Thursday is Thor Day. Did you guys know that? I did not know that. All this time, somehow, some way, that information didn't get to me. And so I didn't know that Thursday is actually Thor Day. I thought that was really cool. So there's all these different days. So, Joy, do you know the different Venus Day meditation? Which day is the Venus Day? I have to look it up because I don't know. I don't know everything, you know. I'm just here, you know. I'm doing the best I can do with what I have. And I want to offer it to you so that you can have a more vital and awesomely filled, it is Friday, is Venus Day. Oh, I love that. I thought so. You know, I don't know if you've heard this story, Joy, but I used to own a healing center in Santa Cruz. It was called the House of the Sun, Casa del Sol. And I had it for about 8 years. And I did work with the First Nations there, and we had a healing sweat lodge every Friday night that Chief Richard Swallow Eagle would come with his wife Bonnie and his little boy David and we would do a sweat lodge ceremony each Friday night. And I had been told in a vision that I was to help with over 200 sweats and then sweat lodge and EP ceremonies. And we did over 200 there at our compound. We had a 3-acre compound there, and so we used to do a sweat lodge every Friday night there, and we would do meditations too. We'd lead in meditation. So afterwards, after we're having something to eat after the sweat, both my daughters, they are asking each of my daughters separately, and this was during a small gathering that we had, they introduced themselves, the person that they're with. They introduced the other person. And both of my daughters, without knowing it, said they were from Venus, that that's the planet that they are originally from. And I've been working a little bit with Inanna and the Anunnaki, right? That whole Anunnaki fashion, and with Inanna, and she's from Venus, from what I understand. You guys, correct me if I'm wrong. And so, and with her work as well, with the, as being one of the Anunnaki bloodline. And so, I don't know why I went into that, but so Venus and Fridays. I don't know, Fridays has always been one of my favorite days, is Friday. So I think part of it, and then I'm going to go flashback from the past, is where on Fridays after I come home from school, my mom had worked on the house all day, and Fridays the house was spotless, and it smelled good, and everything was in order, everything was in place, and I always loved Fridays because the house kind of sparkled, the energy was clean, and I'm like that here on Fridays. I do housekeeping still on Fridays. It's my day to kind of make sure everything's in order around the house, and I get it to smell good. But today I had some lavender oil, but you might have a favorite that you have that you like to mix up in the house, and really give the house a good cleansing today. I smudge my house at least once every few days. I do my car once every month or so. And so things that I do, ways that we as an empath, as a sensitive, can protect ourselves, right, in this world and be here and really be here in a very co-creative way, right? And Joyce says the uses rose oil. Ooh, I love rose oil. Yeah, and there's a rose spray that I used to use all the time, just a rose spray. And Pinky said, thank you. Oh, you're welcome, Pinky. I hope that was a good one for you. That was fun. I feel better. I hope everybody feels better. You know, just take time out for a little consciousness expansion, right? So, and someone asked me about my earrings again, and these are Kelly Rainbow Butterfly made. I love them, and you can order them from her. She's on Facebook, Kelly Rainbow Butterfly, and she does this amazing conference with Christian, the Sasquatch Conference in Washington every year. I think it's coming up, so you can contact her. That's Kelly Rainbow Butterfly. I've had her on the show several times, and yeah, Joyce is, they feel much, much better too. Yay! So we kind of do some spring cleaning today, right? So if you're going to clean your house, do a little spring cleaning, get things in order, you might as well go ahead and spring clean your space as well, right? And work with it. The body responds. It's pretty smart. It's pretty intelligent, and it'll respond with just, you know, just a few hellos and thank yous, and have a good body being communication. And once you get that down, then you can really expand on having a spiritual connection as well. So you have this body being communication, and then you can have a body being spiritual communication, right? And so you can tap into all that wisdom that's out there. It's ours for the taking, and I love it because there's no calories and it's free. Okay, you earned it, you know. And so you might as well tap into that and use that to help you if you have a problem or you have a crisis or you have some difficulties you're going through. I know my classes, I was just booming with classes, and now they've kind of slowed down. And so, you know, I always look at, okay, spirit, you know, am I supposed to be still teaching these classes? Maybe I should be writing. You know, give me a heads up on, bring me some students. So I'll ask Spirit to bring me students, which I love doing. And then I like doing readings for people too. If you want to get a reading from me, and I don't know how it is with, and there's our little hummingbird again, and it's really starting to get windy, a little bit rainy, but that's our hummingbird. He comes here on Fridays. I just love him. I'll see if I can get a picture of him. I don't know if I can, but he's little. He's just adorable. And he comes here and he sits on Friday when we do the show. And he sits, there's a dead branch, and he sits on the dead branch, and he's just, like, checking out the show. And so he's come here ever since I moved here. So I've been here a month now. So, yeah, our little hummingbird Joy, hummingbirds bring joy. And I think I've said this before on the show, you know, when I first moved to Palm Springs, I had never had much of a relationship with hummingbirds, but one built a little teeny nest in my yard. So I got to see them work, and they take rest, you know. They actually, I had never seen a hummingbird sit or rest. I'd only seen them buzzing around, right, and working so hard. And so really the hummingbirds taught me how to take a break, how to rest, how to take a time out, because even hummingbirds take timeouts, right? And so the hummingbird taught me that. I'm kind of a goer, mover, doer, shaker, like getting things done. So that's how I'm kind of made. Kind of maybe like a hummingbird in a way, right? And so then I got to remember to take a time out and take a rest, take a respite. And all right. So that's it. That's from my heart to yours this evening. From my family to your family, from my community to your community, from this beautiful planet to all the planets in the cosmos, and that we're connected through love, really. It's a, and you know, someone told me this the other day. I saw it somewhere. They said, well, laughter is in every language. Don't you like that? I love that. Laughter is in every single language. There's laughter. I love that. I thought that was really cool. So have a beautiful weekend this weekend filled with love and laughter. And I just saw the June 2 movie. It was really awesome. I really, really enjoyed it so much. So I did some fun. Thursdays is my fun day. So I have one day a week where I just have fun. And I want to do things I have never done before. And so Thursdays is my fun day. So we went and saw Dune and had a blast. And so Thursdays is the fun day. So I hope you have a fun day, at least one day a week, or at least a couple hours a day, or some part of the day have some fun, even in this crazy wild world that we're in. So that way we can walk in balance, right? We can walk between the worlds that way. So let's see what's happening. Okay. And so I guess that's it. We're going to go off a little early this evening, I think. So if you have any questions, I want to thank Joey. I hope I'm saying that right. Favier. They feel much better. Thank you. Venus Day Meditation. Pinky Lee, thank you, Pinky. I get used to having you here every Friday, you know that. And to everyone else who stopped by, to Eric Mitchell, Om Shante. Om Shante. Om Shante. And to Dave Scott, oh my God, I give you a big hug. Big hugs out to Dave Scott. And to Eddie Velos, thank you for stopping by the first time, I think. I'm not sure, but I think so. And to everyone who stopped by the Cosmic Oracle Show. See, we're in a Zen state now, right? I remember this. I think I've commented about this before, that I when I'm writing in my book, I like to listen to Mozart, right? And that's my writing time. That's where my conscious can go to Mozart, and my subconscious then can let go so I can write better. All right? And so Joey Favier. Thanks for coming on the show tonight. And so, I think I just lost where I was going. Oh, so we're so expanded, right? And so you have to remember to ground before you go out and do anything. So I'm listening to Mozart, and it's at 4:40, like most of everything is tuned into nowadays for control, right? And so I tuned it, I listened to Mozart at 432, and I didn't like it as much. And I figured out, why didn't I like Mozart at 432? And it's because it was slower, and I was forced to slow down. And I think we talked about this last week, that we need to slow down. You know, slow the frack down this week, all right? And take time out to say hello to friends and value friendships and to value our beautiful world that we're in. And it's beautiful spring time here. I know California, you know, it's different than if you're in Ohio, still shoveling snow, I think. I'm not sure. Let me know. So, all right. So I think we're just going to, someone asked me if I could pull a card today, and I haven't done that. I don't know where my deck is. Where did I put my tarot deck? I don't see it. But I could just go ahead and let me go to this. I'll just pick a page here because I don't really see my cards. Oh, maybe they're under it. Oh, yeah, my cards are here. Okay. All right. So I'll pick a card. Someone had asked me that earlier. So I'll go ahead and pick a card. Here we go. You can kind of see me, Jenna. And out of my favorite tarot deck. So let's do that now. Mozart is good. Try listening to... Oh, I love Vivaldi seasons, for sure. I do. I do love Vivaldi, too. I do. I don't know. Mozart is just... He's such a... When he's happy, he's really happy. Okay. All right. But I like that, Pinky Lee. All right. So, 552. We'll pick a card. And then I'll go ahead and cut them from right to left into threes. We'll fan them out. And this is for you, and we'll make it for this week until I see you next Friday. This is for you. Here we go. Queen of Wands. We have chosen wisely the Queen of Wands. I think you can see that. Here we go. Queen of Wands. All right, let's see what she says. So let's look that up. And Queen of Wands. Oh, that's in the front. Dynamic, confident, and strong-willed. Confident and full of ideas and energy. But if she or a friend is attacked, she can be ferocious in defense. As a lover or parent, she is strong and warm, but may tend to be domineering. All right. So you have the powers of the land, particularly those related to fire in the earth of dragon or ley lines. So let's be mindful of dragon ley lines, right? Let's think about that maybe for the solstice, right? To be aware of the ley lines and where we are and the earth's ley lines as well. That would be very cool. So that's, I guess, so remind you to be mindful of the earth's ley lines during the summer solstice. So if you are happen to be at the Serpent Mound, all my love to all of you there. And my love to Bill Holman and the Crystal Skull. It's going to be doing some magic work on that special day along with Michael Lee Hill. And so we're going to be there in spirit and during meditation. So thanks for tuning in to the Cosmic Oracle Show. And this is Barbara Jean Lindsay, Reverend Barbara Jean Lindsay. I've been an ordained minister for over 30 years as well. And so thanks again for everyone tuning in. And we'll see you next week on the Cosmic Oracle Show. Go out and have a wonderful week. And stay a little bit expanded, right? You can be a little bit expanded if you're at home. So, all right, everyone. Let me go ahead and see you next week on the Cosmic Oracle Show. Much love. Big love to everyone. And high connection. And for all of those on Revolution Radio, thank you for tuning in to the Cosmic Oracle Show. We'll be back next Friday. And go ahead and you can go to BarbaraJeanLindsay.com. And thanks to all of our administrators at Revolution Radio for doing the amazing job that you do. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having us on our 10th year. And we'll see you next week. And we're going to, by next week, we have all experienced a solar eclipse. There won't be another one for a number of years. So that'll be really, really wonderful. So good night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. And we have about a minute left. So I'm just looking at the beautiful leaves and trees and the sunlight coming in through the windows. I have like a 15-foot banana tree that's humongous from like the 70s planted outside my window. So it overlooks my window, and I look through these huge banana tree leaves that are like probably 5 feet long, some of them, right? So it reminds me of Hawaii. So much aloha to everyone, and see you next week. And I'm just kind of hanging out here. that's it. See you next week. Stay expanded. Bye-bye.
Things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew.
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the day from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives? But they'll never take our freedom!
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. Wow. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment.
Hello, anybody there?
Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more.